Come on in. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Live. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 Eastern. This is the Maple Leaf edition of our show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. Plenty to get into, including the Toronto Maple Leafs on Long Island tonight, looking towards making it 5 in a row. We'll see if they back off Captain John Tavares tonight. Probably not JB, but in the meantime.
Is it weird that they're playing twice there? They usually play twice there in a season, like an out of conference,
well,
out of division.
Three times, so I think you kind of take turns getting two games away or two games at home.
Weird.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
yes,
we got into a little Corey Perry discussion yesterday. I told you guys all along he's coming back. And then you guys mentioned the Leafs yesterday, and I said probably not based on a lot of factors, which we're going to revisit right now.
Oh, great.
But I also said yesterday, don't be surprised to hear about the Leafs floating something out there that would link them. I think that may have happened yesterday because it seems to be a very hot conversation today amongst many.
Yes.
In Leaf Nation on Corey Perry. Do you see a fit? Do you want him here? Do you not want to have him here?
You're looking
Sammy,
at me.
You've been licking your chops for the last 24 hours.
You know, much like the last Corey Perry situation, I have received an unbelievable amount of texts and questions about this.
People really find Corey Perry talk interesting.
I was in two hockey dressing rooms within the last 12 hours. Don't ask me why.
Which
I was doing
it. Self is mental, playing that much hockey.
You're trying to make the pros. That's what you're doing.
I just love it. I love playing. But
great game.
Dominated the conversation in both of those dressing rooms last night, this morning. It's a huge thing. And everyone's, I text group chats, everyone. I didn't expect it to be this hot, but it's immediately this hot. Obviously, Carlo on the other station saying that there's mutual interest this morning, like, this seems like it's really popping up here.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. I always linked it to the comparison of Evander Kane, where you come in with some baggage, and let's make no bones about it here.
Baggage.
Mm-hmm. Chicago Blackhawk baggage here. And where do you think the majority of the public is on that? In the hockey world, let alone Leaf Nation here. Sammy, did you not float out? You were so excited about the talk about Corey Perry that you actually
did prep.
No, but you also put you put something on your Twitter account.
Well, I was just...
You did a poll.
I was genuinely interested to see how people are feeling about this because I think it's a pretty polarizing situation, and it's not nearly as polarizing as I thought it was.
Let's hear the results.
I put it, with uncertainty and questions about what led to Corey Perry being cut by Chicago, would you be comfortable with the Leafs signing him? Pretty simple, cut and dry, not leaning one way or the other. And 73% of over 2,000 people voted yes, that they're comfortable.
And this is the poll the Leafs are looking for. This is going to be intriguing.
Okay, but are they like Sammy?
Every reply, 50 replies, yes. Can I vote twice? Yes.
Are they all like Sammy where it's like, I don't care what he did. He's going to help us win.
Put words in Sammy's mouth.
Listen, I do care what he did, but when you're looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs here, there is a very clear fit for Corey Perry.
Yeah. There's been great observation.
That's what I mean. There's been mutual interest, and you don't know what, like, bringing him in here and what it does to your chemistry and all that stuff. But for a team that has had these playoff failures, many of them to the man himself, Corey Perry, there's going to be a fan base that when he is available.
Can we get the guy who loses in the cup final all the time? Can we get that guy?
Buddy.
I'll take it. I'm joking. But
I think that's what's got people all fired up here.
I would say there's a bit of a misunderstanding that seems to be driving some of this just like blanket acceptance of Corey Perry coming to everyone's favorite team. And people seem to think that what Corey Perry did went to Commissioner Bettman, who reviewed what happened, said it's not that bad, it's okay, he's eligible to play, and everyone's saying we want Corey Perry. When, as I understand it, Kip, and you can better correct me on this, no one's really sure what happened, the details of this case, exactly. Bettman doesn't know enough to say he can't play. So he can play until he knows enough.
This has basically been the way it's been for years, maybe even since the league started. That, and yes, Sammy, you care what he did, but we'll never know what he did. That thing is somewhere in a vault, and whether it's Corey Perry or anything else that's been questionable over the years, there's been a policy in the National Hockey League where the fans are just on a need-to-know basis.
Treat him like everything's mushrooms. Great.
And right now, you all don't need to know.
Yeah.
And so what's left to be, what's left to, for us to base anything on if we just will never know the answers? Listen, people still got questions on Joel Quenneville. Like, he's out of the league. We're under the impression that he can't come back. Nobody knows why.
Well, I mean, they know
Tell me.
They know why. They know the situation.
Who knows why?
Well, not us, but we kind of know, Kippy. Like, we kind of know why. I don't need to lay it out.
Sure.
I mean, do I have to lay it out? The Blackhawks situation of 10 years ago? Like, there's a pretty clear reason why he's out.
No, you know the big picture,
yes.
Sammy. You don't know anything about Joel Quenneville and why he's out now.
Well.
And we don't know why any more than we know what happened to Corey Perry and why they found cause on him.
For sure. And I'm just saying that, like, if Corey Perry comes to a market like this, where there's going to be a lot of questions, like you've laid out yesterday, is it going to be more people sniffing around trying to find out what happened? Is it going to be more people that are like, oh, well, we got to get, like, is there a way he signs here and then it comes out and then everybody looks horrible? Like, is that in the cards?
That's kind of the thing. If an organization in the NHL deemed what he did bad enough that
you
they would
can't
just
handle
rather
the truth.
Not have the good player on their team, but, you know, then why would it be different for your organization? Are you saying what he did doesn't matter then? Like, is it, it happened to some other people. We don't care about that. Like, if they said it was bad enough that they don't want him around, why do we want him around? Like, maybe.
And if the Leafs or any other club says, we don't think it was remotely as bad as people thought.
Yep.
You just take them for their word.
Yeah, I mean, to your point that we're not going to know exactly, I feel like we will we not? Like, will there
know.
Not have to be some sort of, like, is there going to be a legal case involved?
I don't know. No.
Yeah.
So this is where probably it's still open-ended on whether or not Corey Perry will go back to Chicago and grieve their decision on terminating his contract.
It's still, undecided, is that what you just said?
Undecided.
Okay, yeah.
He had 60 days to decide whether or not he wanted to put a formal grievance together through the Players Association, and that has not happened as of yet.
Yeah.
But if Corey Perry does want to come back to play, I would assume that grieving it can only help him.
Mm-hmm. Like, without the optics of it.
The optics. Yes.
Well, if he grieves it, do they then have to make public more of it? No, it would still say.
No, it would stay
right, then,
internal.
Grieving would certainly make it
would stay internal. And it would, all you would be privileged to is the result.
And what would Gary Bettman have to know about this Corey Perry?
Great question.
Case right now? Like, what level of knowledge would he have about it, or would he have to be informed on it to say that, yeah, he can still play? Like, he hasn't legally been charged with anything, so how can I tell him he can't play in the league? You know, does he have to know anything? He may not know anything either. He just says, I don't know enough to say.
He knows everything.
He knows everything.
He knows everything.
And he said,
he's spoken to Chicago.
Okay.
He's spoken to Corey Perry.
Okay.
He's spoken to everybody. At least my understanding is, He's done his own investigation on it.
So then, you know, maybe I need to walk back what I said earlier in the show, that he has looked at this and he has said that it doesn't rise to the level where he can't play in the league. In which case, I start going back to Sammy's side and saying, okay, if they've taken their time and they have the facts and the commissioner says it's okay, you know, you have flawed people all over the league.
There's also a thought that he may still not like what he found, but is it enough
to set a precedent?
Is it enough to keep a man away from his right to a livelihood? Meaning, you want to tell him that he can't play anymore in the league, and he hasn't been charged with anything. He hasn't shown anybody
that
he's broken the law. So am I not setting myself up for the potential of a lawsuit? I mean, those are the things that they got to think about.
The union would probably be very upset.
Yes. Yeah. So my understanding as of today is the NHLPA will grieve this.
Yeah.
And they don't need, again, my understanding is they won't need Corey Perry to say yes or no.
Oh, really? The union itself can say, we don't like what's happening here.
Yeah. When you think about it, from a union perspective, from a players association perspective,
we do not agree.
No, I think
the whole
we agree.
Union doesn't, we do. The union does.
Okay. That this is probably less about Corey Perry and more about 750 members on if Chicago thinks that they can just form a judgment on where that line has been crossed on code of conduct, then, man, there's a lot of other teams that would like to look at two or three of their contracts and go, man, I'd love to get out of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heard about a night you had, you know, whatever.
That's why the PA has to grieve it. And I think they will. And if it is favorable to Corey Perry, then it kind of helps optics of Chicago overreacted. How about that?
Sure, I would agree. But if it doesn't go his way, you know, does that hurt things? I don't know. You know, it's
if you were a general manager that's like wanting to sign Corey Perry, you could also, I guess, convince yourself that you're like, well, Chicago obviously had these issues in the past where it was a very high profile scandal, and they have to be uber sensitive with any sort of situation like this. Yeah. And maybe that's the reason that they let him. Like, there's all sorts
There's
mental gymnastics that you would pull yourself through to try to convince yourself. Yeah, they're trying to lose. They suck. Like, there's all these different things. But, yeah, I got to say, I was surprised at how overwhelmingly, you know, and it's like I'm not on right-wing Twitter here. Like, I have a pretty normal following of people that like the Leafs and are normal people. And everyone is saying yes.
Yeah,
I'm surprised by.
No, I just think it's people assessing, like, you know, there's a hockey player who fits a need that the Leafs have, and I get that. You know, it's there. I do think it's a valuable question of, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know, like, Corey Perry's a big name. There's a lot of attention that comes with him. He's probably a fourth line level player right now. He's not going to play first power play unit like he was in Chicago. You know, it's his contribution is going to be of some value.
What about him and Reeves?
Is it enough to justify what it's going to bring to the team, the organization, the attention?
That's a fair question.
The point that I really made yesterday is that this market's a beast. And for you and your 1,000, 2,000 voters, they're probably kind of like you. Right?
Really lovely people, good
they
golfers.
They follow you,
like,
they love you.
Like-minded?
It's like, yeah, let them play. I don't see anything wrong, which is fine. But this market, as we know it, like, how many people won't let it go and move on in this market? How many people that don't necessarily cover hockey but cover human interest stories?
Yeah, that's the nightmare when you're a hockey player, when like the breakfast television's there, and you're like, oh, come on.
The crime reporter from City News 680 shows up at practice. That's not what you want.
Corey Perry, Robin Doolittle.
And there's also,
oh no,
you know, there's just not Corey. You know, he's got a wife, he's got a family.
Yeah, of course.
In this market, are they prepared to, I don't know, think that they can just come in and weather the storm for a few days, and then everybody's going to leave you alone, or is it not? And That's a tough question to ask. Really tough question to ask.
I would say it's a substantial risk for the Leafs to take. The only thing is if he signs, he's probably going to sign for a minimum or close to, right? And you could, if it doesn't work out, you could bury a guy, you know, in the minors.
Yeah, you can. But I hope that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
And I know we set up a comparable to maybe the baggage that Evander Kane brought Edmonton, and that seemed to overall work out, right?
Well, shoot a lot of pucks in the net, and people, yeah. Yes, it did seem to work out, to answer your question.
But that's, Cates is one owner. Just, yeah, go for it. Here?
Yeah, getting an approval Bell, here involves a few more conversations.
Bell, Rogers, big corporations, big picture, ownership, think a lot bigger than wins and losses. A
few more cooks in the kitchen.
So not an easy decision for the Toronto Maple Leafs on Corey Perry is basically the gist of this conversation.
Would love to hear from people and get their opinion beyond Sam's poll if you want to text 590-590.
Oh, they're texting.
Or are they? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're texting.
Whatever. Tweet.
I mean, do you think there's interest?
Listen, they're not doing their jobs if there's no interest. How's that for an answer?
Yeah. Correct. Correct. Okay.
Yep.
Good enough. You want to talk about the hockey game tonight? Or do you want to keep talking about Corey Perry?
No, okay. I'm good. Oh, just one more. Yeah. Is he still the player he was two or three years ago that we saw in Tampa Bay and that can piss people off and score a big goal? He's how old now? 38, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah.
I don't know.
Right? Is he still got the Zeus?
It's just who, like a bad version of Corey Perry is just like kind of better than what the Leafs have had on the fourth line for years in the playoffs. Someone who can, you know, be annoying, like, play in traffic, shoot one in the net if it comes to his stick.
That Corey Perry signing buries Ryan Reeves, right?
He's gone.
Buries him.
You know, Reeves had a tough go. He's ready to play, by the way. Is he not?
He's skating.
He's functioning.
He's Wayne Simmons of last year.
Like, he's able to be a part of it. He's just around the team.
Is he playing? Is he not playing? Is he not to the point where maybe go play some games with the Marlies and stay sharp? Is that where we're at?
I wonder if, well,
he's got two more years left on his deal.
I know. That makes things more challenging.
He had 9 points in 16 games to start this year, Corey Perry.
Yeah.
I think I watched him.
Do you have TOI there? Just curious.
Yeah, but he did it as a number one guy.
Yeah.
He was important. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that would probably.
If you can give him 9 points over playoffs, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And I saw him shoot one in the net and blow a kiss to the crowd in Toronto when we went to the alumni box. So,
yeah.
You know, I think there's still some. Anyways,
McMahon looks pretty good. I'm not sure if I would roll the dice on this one. It's going to really suck
when he signs with Florida, boys. Yeah. It's really going to suck. And he's going to be great. Like, and everyone's going to be like, oh, he's washed up. He's no good. And he's going to go play for Carolina or Florida, score a big goal in the playoffs. It's going to happen.
This is the fan coming out, though. This is not the rational.
But guess what? Guess why I'm here, buddy? I'm a fan.
I know.
And I hate Corey Perry's guts, and I've hated Corey Perry's guts.
You're speaking out of fear.
No, I'm speaking out of watching it happen year after year. Montreal.
This is uncomfortable.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Ask Oilers fans what they think about Corey Perry. With the Ducks, like.
He's done it to a lot of teams.
It's going to suck. It's going to suck when he signs somewhere else and is a good contributor in the playoffs and the Leafs didn't do it because of reasons that
it might be worse to have him here and have him score three goals than find out he did something horrific and you were the team that was okay with it because he could shoot a couple in the net.
Yeah, for sure. That sucks too.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, is that going to happen if he goes to Florida?
I mean,
because someone's
going to
sign him.
Someone is going to sign him.
Oh, yeah. Someone's definitely going to sign him.
So, anyways.
I despise that, dude.
I do. And I've hated him for too long and I'm ready to like him.
I'm ready to like him. I know.
All right. This almost feels like we've had this conversation before, but like, JT in the island. What do we expect? Let's go to Sheldon Keefe because I'm tired of this one, but we'll hear from the head coach.
You don't have to. You know
what? No, okay. Go for it.
Clip two.
I don't think there's anything additional to it in terms of fuel or anything, but it creates an environment, you know, which you come in here for a midweek game, and you know, sometimes in the league those midweek games can be a little quiet and different, and it brings a little more to it for sure.
So you go. See, it makes the game a little bit more important.
At this point, you gotta, I mean, JT can't be bothered by it at this point. He knows what to expect. He just scored his 1,000th point in a last-minute goal on Long Island. Like, he had a moment
there. That
might
fuel the fire then.
Yeah, maybe it will. But, like, to me, this is not, like, what are they going to do to him? You know? I don't think this has any bearing on the game anymore.
Yeah.
No?
But I would like to hear Sheldon talk about the Islanders. Islanders have just lost a couple in a row. I kind of like the Islanders more than I thought I would going into this season. I think they're pretty, there's some talent on that team. Let's check out what Keith says about the Islanders.
Aggressive team offensively. They're going to come to the net hard. Puck's going to go to the net. You know, a great goaltending, and they play well in transition. And they also kind of, you know, they almost bait you into some of those plays where you want to put the puck to the middle of the ice, and they turn on it really quickly. They defend the middle of the ice really well. So, you know, when you're playing here, it's a tough environment, tough game, all those kind of things. I think the biggest thing for us is just it's going to be a different type of game than we've played here of late. Different type of opponent, different type of challenge. You know, and we talked about that. I believe we're prepared for that. It might take us a little bit to recalibrate a little bit. But those are the things that we're focused on today.
They haven't won back-to-back games since, like, 2 weeks into December.
The Islanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they just kind of skim along. They win, they lose, they win, they lose. I mean, they're in that dogfight. I think they're in the last wild card spot. And there's
first
four
wild card
teams
spot.
Four teams within a point of them. Like, mm-hmm. they're... in the fight.
Keith said, yeah, pucks to the net. Was he talking about his team getting pucks to the net?
Yeah.
Because against the Islanders is probably, they're one of the worst teams in the league, are they not?
Yeah, here's the bottom teams in shots against per game. Chicago's pretty terrible. Anaheim's worse. Montreal's worse. Columbus, then the Islanders, then San Jose.
Wow.
So they're 31st in goal and shots against per game. So tons of pucks go to the net against them as well. But I don't necessarily understand that. Like, you know, they've been without Pelech and Pulock for a lot of the season. Pulock's still out, but Pelech is back now, and he is a huge part of their team.
Yeah, he's really good.
He was like a guy that was like on the cusp of Team Canada when we were making rosters, whatever it was, a year or two ago. But, you know, Romanov's pretty good. Dobson's pretty good. Mayfield's pretty good. So I don't understand why their D is as bad as it is. If I'm being dead honest, I don't think they don't look all that well coached. I'm not saying Lane Lambert isn't a good coach. I'm just saying they don't look structured. For years with Trotz there and whatever, they were so tight.
Yeah.
They're not as tight as they've been in the past. So now they score their way out of trouble and give the puck to Pierre Engvall.
And get a lot of saves.
Yes. Varlamov and Sorokin have been very good this year.
All right. We'll have a quick conversation on the goaltending, but we can't until we hear from Sheldon Keefe on Samsonov.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure it gives them a boost, you know. So, yeah, that's it. He's put in the work, like I said yesterday, and give him a boost to come back here. You know, it's hell to be. We do want to get back and playing and all of that kind of stuff. But the other side of it is that Ilya does get to reconnect with the group. And as I said, working with Curtis Sanford, too, you know, and working with, you know, higher caliber shooters and all these types of things in our practices, we think is important to help him get back on track.
Didn't sound enthused, eh?
No, but you know what I take from that is that they're like, so Samsonov back with the guys, like, this has to be good for his morale. And he was like, yeah, we needed Hildeby to get back playing. Yeah, you know, like, this is...
They've lost faith in Sammy.
Yeah.
They want to be as... It feels like every answer about him is as cold and calculated as he possibly can make it.
I thought...
Puck just kept going in the net.
Yesterday made... or this guy over here, Kip, made a really good point about... Sunday's game, that it's like more likely Hildeby starts against Detroit than Samsonov, even though Samsonov's the guy that's here right now.
I wrote an article, my article today for the Toronto Star. It's a little follow-up on Nylander, but you guys didn't see my news and notes on Matt Murray today?
You know what, Kip? I did not read it. Did you? What was your map? Let's have it live. Let's hear it live.
So we
here we go.
We had an earlier conference. Oh, first of all, Brett Treliving did make a comment like last week on Matt Murray.
It was a couple weeks ago. It was like during
was it long ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago now. But he was talking about it like he got it. Did I don't know when that was. I don't know. All these weeks go together. But anyways, yeah. Continue.
He's gonna play this year
in the National League.
I know.
Oh, hold on. We have the clip.
Oh, okay. Let's revisit. I want to revisit it.
He's doing well. It's a significant. excuse me. Rehab. But he's doing, like, there's been no setbacks. He's attacked at full steam. He's up to the stage now where I think actually, I shouldn't say this because I probably may be wrong, but I think he's actually not goaltender skated, but, you know, sort of did a public skate where he throws a sweatsuit on and kind of wanders around on the ice a little bit. So that's good progression. I mean, he's got a ways to go, but everything's been really, really positive in terms of no setbacks or he's been on track and things are going well.
Are you hopeful? Oh.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's more than a pleasure skate.
He's been cutting laps at the Greenwood outdoor track.
Yeah, no, he's
so he doesn't need the chair to move around or not?
He's got the
I think from the time he had surgery, they said 4 to 6 months, and right on the end of March, April, he, barring any setback, will be ready to play.
So that sounds like a significant problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And
their salary cap.
No. This is all after the trade deadline.
I don't think we have the correct understanding of the trade deadline. Like, there's still a salary cap.
Until I don't get it. We talk about it every day? I don't understand.
Until the playoffs start, there's a salary cap that they have to adhere to.
Listen, if they're thinking about a Matt Murray by then, that means Samsonov's back down with the Marlies.
If they're thinking about the Leafs would use Matt Murray in goal?
I'm telling you, Matt Murray's going to play in the NHL next year again.
I thought you were going to say this year. Not this year?
Yeah.
He may get games at the end of the year with the Leafs.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Timestamp.
He's going to play 11. In the NHL again next year, mm-hmm. and he's going to sign a contract. He could end up signing a contract for $3, $4 million next year.
What are you talking about?
What?
You listen. That's insane.
No,
and
it's not
happening.
It's not insane.
It is not happening.
What? No way.
It's not insane.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
We do not agree.
He's going to sign a PTO with Carolina.
Tell me how old he is.
30?
30.
Young.
Yeah.
Young, and now, if proven healthy, this guy's going to get a contract next year.
My son is young, too. No one signs you just because you're young. He's been like an 860 save percentage guy, hasn't he? What's he done?
Go look at the shortage of goaltenders and tell me he can't find work next year if he is proven healthy.
See if Kip's an agent. Look this up. God, he's 903, 918, 906.
Those are his resume will get him work next year.
He was a 903 for the Leafs last year in 26 games.
If he feels as good as he's telling people, he's going to play next year.
Well, listen,
and I'll tell you another thing.
If I wanted to make money, I'd tell people I was good too.
I'll tell you another thing. It could be the Leafs re-signing him.
Oh,
no, I'm telling you.
No, it's not.
No.
You are incorrect.
Listen, we're getting ahead of it ourselves here.
We do not agree.
I'm telling you right now, he's
do not
back.
Agree.
In play,
we do not agree.
If he comes back and clears his physical by the end of March, he'll be very much back in play. I don't know where it means for the Leafs and where Joseph Woll is or Samsonov is, but this guy's at that age, he's very much in play to resume his career.
Okay.
I hope it doesn't happen, but this next thing I'm going to say, but and then his bones will spider-web like a shattered windshield, and it'll be done 2 weeks later.
And he'll go right back on the Leafs.
All right.
Yes, I don't wish that on anyone.
We got to go to break.
He's had some bad luck.
All right, let's go.
All right, we're going to go to break. Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet, 590 The Fan, former general manager, is going to join us after the break. And then at the top of the hour, Chris Therrien, former Flyer defenseman, known for Snow the Goalie, the podcast, is going to join us as well, and we'll get into the Philadelphia Flyers and Torts lighting up some guy who...
Anthony Sanfilippo.
Oh, is that who it was?
Apparently.
Well, we'll ask Chris all about it.
Love that.
Plenty more on Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.
Covering the Raptors in depth like no one else. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All right, let's welcome in Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, former general manager of the Leafs. And for those of you that can't see on our Zoom call, sporting powder blue Hockey Night in Canada shirt. Let's welcome in Gord Stellick. Stellictricity!
These powder blue jackets, Dave Hodge used to wear them, and they were like gold. I know guys said that if you wore it at Maple Leaf Gardens, whatever, you got in anywhere. So ABC had the mustard colored, and they had the powder blue.
You weren't being held up at the hot stove by Nick if you had that jacket on?
No. Hey, the hot stove, I cut back through the kitchen there. Nick and Pono and everybody, there was a secret way in there. They took care of everybody. Nick had the tuxedo on, and everything was fine. Everyone ran a really good ship in their respective departments.
Gord, I don't know if you caught a good portion of our opening, but we were talking about the Corey Perry situation. Elliot Friedman reporting yesterday that he's eligible to sign again, got the blessing of the league. Does that, for you, open him up to all teams, including the Toronto Maple Leafs? Or someone that has lived it, like you, understands that what may work in Carolina or Florida for Corey Perry may not work in the big smoke here in Toronto?
It'll work. If I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'd be interested in Corey Perry. And, you know, as you guys talked about it, I mean, the thing is, he has not contravened. I mean, Chicago unilaterally says they terminated his contract. His contract is not terminated. He's got a right to appeal. They're saying that he violated whatever their code of conduct is. They probably have the most stringent code of conduct in Chicago, about 32 teams. So anyway, we know all that. He had a $4 million salary. That would be the cap hit, even though he got a $2 million signing bonus. So at $4 million, very few teams can afford him. But if I'm sure he would just re-up for the minimum or close to it. And what you got to do, you know, Kippy and Justin, and you take a look what Sheldon Keefe did when he signed with the Toronto Marlies. He addressed his days when he was associated with David Frost, the whole Mike Danton situation, right? Like, he got that out of the way, his first press conference, and you move forward. And if Corey Perry's going to come to here, my advice would be that would be something like that. Basically touch on whatever it was. You don't have to go into details. Apologies, you know, like kind of like Carey Price's situation in Montreal. I know it was different, apples and oranges, but just, and people respect that. But I think he is a guy that every playoff team, every playoff bound team, including the Toronto Maple Leafs, would love to get.
Kip, are you good on Corey Perry if I turn the page?
Yep. Sure.
Gordo, I you know, hearing all your stories from your time being involved in the Maple Leafs brass and you know, the people who've been running this organization for a long time, I wanted to ask you about new hiring. Keith Pelley was just hired to run MLSE. Just wondering your thoughts on that. You seem like a guy who might know a thing or two or have an opinion on what that could mean for the organization.
So now, one thing I'm not 100% clear about, is he taking over what Richard Petty used to be and oversees Brendan Shanahan and the NBA, where the last CEO was kind of parallel to them? But to answer your question about Keith Pelley, really big on him. First, as a person, been a, you know, a great individual, down to earth, really gets it, worked from the, you know, the ground up. And particularly the international experience now, which is important, running the Toronto Argonauts in their most successful time, really the last whatever number of years. They were kind of a happening team for a few years. So I like someone that has that sports knowledge, that it's not just a brand. It's not just the business side. It's just not all those things. So probably the timing is great with what's going on with the European tour, I think. So he's had a habit of being in the right place at the right time. But I think this is a real positive addition to MLSE.
Hey, look what he did at Sportsnet. You put the package together. Like when you talk about his involvement over the years. There's the Bell side he had with TSN. There's the Rogers side, and there's that $5 billion 12-year deal that he fronted. I mean, everything's covered here for him moving forward.
I wish there was no salary cap because he'd be unafraid to spend. He'd be like Mike Ilitch in Detroit way back when that. But yeah. It's like you look at all the tentacles that he's covered again. What does that mean as far as wins? Because that's what the average fan wants to know. I don't know what a new CEO means, but I just like that. To me, he gets it. You know, not again, he gets the sports side. He gets the on ice side, the on court side, as well as, you know, the business side of what's going on.
So, Kip, I want to throw something at you because this has been kind of eating at me. We had Brian Burke on the other day, Gord, and he says that NHL owners will, I believe he said, dislocate their shoulders voting yes on expansion. He's like, everyone will want to expand as soon as possible. And we kind of been kicking this around. You know, they get a new guy at MLSC. He's not afraid of big deals. Do you ever see a world, Kip, Gordo, where there's another Toronto team where I don't know if MLSC would be involved in that or how this would work, but like, is something like that ever possible here?
For me first, well, and I'll let you, I'll just go real quick here, sure. Gordon. I'd like you to follow up that what's probably going to happen in the next 12 months to 24 months is maybe perhaps a little bit of restructuring. Mm-hmm. Larry Tannenbaum appears to have put up his 25%. Where that leaves him moving forward, we believe that he's on his way out, which means now you're down to Bell and Rogers. Gord, do you see potentially one of the behemoth tech companies, one of them taking the Leafs, the other one maybe moving on to, I don't know, a second team?
Well, you know, Kippy and Justin, that's always been the urban myth that part of the deal with the two giants being involved in MLSE is that there is a deal that at some point they each move forward. One has the Maple Leafs, one forms a second team somewhere, and the big nut being the indemnification payment that would have to be paid is already covered by virtue of this deal. So it would mean Rogers has either the Leafs or the new team. Bell has either the Leafs or the new team. I mean, you got two teams in LA and Anaheim that are about an hour drive apart. You got three teams in the New York area. You could put a second Leaf team, I think, across the street, and it would still do great. So, again, I don't know how much substance there is to the urban myth, but certainly this area could support a second team, whether it's a relocation or expansion team. And I could see both sides, much like Rogers has with the Jays, that they would want, you know, their own vehicle. They would want their own sports vehicle for their media network. So I don't know if it's already written there or if maybe it's something they're willing to explore, but I think that's a possibility for sure.
And again, with Pelly's personal relationships at Bell and Rogers,
yeah, like,
he would be the perfect guy to broker this type of deal.
Now, Tannenbaum has sold 5% of his stake for $400 million to Omers.
And he still has 20 to go.
20 to go. And he sold that stake for $400 million, valuing MLSE at like $8 billion.
Eight.
I believe it's $8 billion, right?
Yes.
After they bought it for $1.23 from the pension plan.
Eight is the number for...
Blanket, not just the Leafs.
Everybody.
Right.
Right? So he'll take essentially 25% of $8 billion.
Right.
And some are suggesting eight's a little light.
And do you think then that Larry would be involved with a new team if that were... I don't know. We're just kicking things around.
You're getting down in the
way. Well, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic that 10 years from now when we're doing the show, Kip and I for sure, definitely, I'm sure the sports will have us, is that we're talking about the other team sometimes.
Gord, a second team in Toronto, would you think that it would jump right into a top five revenue team in the National Hockey League? Is that how you see the second team in this market?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it'd have to be, you know, it would be like the new kid on the block. They'd go about it differently. Obviously, they're not an original 16, but they've got this, you know, fan base that, you know, just has this insatiable appetite. And there's not enough tickets really to go around the GTA area of about 5 million. I don't know how many are sports fans. So I absolutely do. I absolutely think it would take off from day number one. Again, not the things where people were seeking notoriety about putting a team in Markham or putting whatever, you know, people trying to front something that's not realistic. But you know, the other part about the ownership situation, whatever happens, is I got to tell you that let's get some wins. Let's get some playoff wins. Like when the teachers' pension fund sold, that was the most nauseating presser, that everyone kissing each other's ass about what a great deal it was. You guys sucked. You were terrible owners. Terrible. All you cared about, what a terrible example to our kids. You're out there and all you cared about was the return on value. And then you undersold. You should have kept it. Brutal. So all I'm saying is this is all great, big money. Give us something. Give us something like the Yankees did, the Dodgers did, whatever. Okay? Give us something for all that money you're making.
Well, they did. They gave it to Willie. $92 million.
if Willie helps go deeper in the playoffs, which I think he will, that's great. But I'm tired of, anyway, whatever. I'm not going to rant anymore about it. But just, you know, it's got to, instead of all this, wow, look how much it's worth and everything.
Right,
how about what the Raptors did, a championship year once or close to it?
So we got to get your thoughts because we haven't seen you since the big news. You're okay with the $92 million, $250,000 more than Pastrnak. You're good?
Well, first, the big news, too. Does everyone's kids steal their earbuds and power chargers for the phones? I just want to know, does that happen in every household?
Sure.
Because I'm wearing Air Acme Air earbuds because I don't know if Justin or Jesse, where the hell are they? Okay. And where is my phone charger? Okay. So thank God I can make this. I'm totally, your article in the Toronto Star's bang on. It's like, okay, you build a new house. Then maybe you're in it. You go, oh, geez, I don't know. Maybe it's expensive. And they come at you from where you go, no, you're in. You got to do it. So you're doubling down now on a situation that has proved unworkable as far as playoff success goes, having a disproportionate amount of money going to your top four forwards. But they're great players. It's not their fault. You want the players. Cap space, for compared to those kind of players. So anyway, those other challenges, it's going to be a bigger challenge right now. Next year, there's other ways, we can talk about that. Unfortunately, not enough young players on entry-level contracts to, help that situation. But boy, what a great time to have those great elite players. So entertaining, just continues to lack that playoff success, which hopefully can be alleviated this spring.
Gord, in the interest of alleviating some of the past frustration, what are your thoughts on old Marty Jones? Guy has come in here and done a job.
Okay, last year, the trade deadline, we talked about Ryan O'Reilly, we talked about, McCabe, everybody. The gem was Luke Shen, okay? And that's what quite often happens. The gem was Luke Shen, I think for a third-round pick, how he played. All these free agents in the offseason, we never even talked about Marty Jones. And he actually cleared waivers at the start of the year. He is the most valuable unrestricted free agent they're signed. He is saving their bacon right now. They would have to go out and get an NHL body, a rent-a-goalie type, to get through this patch. So he has been a great Band-Aid and then some as they move forward to hopefully get Joe Woll healthy. I don't know if Samsonov can ever get his game back. Kippy, I know you wrote about it that, Matt Murray, again, that's a little bit, to count on it, but is expected to be able to play. This guy absolutely at the most critical time saved his bacon. And I liked it. You were there, Justin, with the Marlies, like a strong setup that he saw. Okay, I'm an older guy. I got family. I'm going to get a reset. I'm going to be in the American Hockey League. I'm not going to have to move all over the place if I get called up. They're in the same city. So it was a great fit. And he seems to have really embraced that reset and seized this opportunity coming up because they would have been screwed without him the last couple of weeks.
Terrific stuff. Gordo, and maybe a little bit of a plug. I know you've got the book with Damon Cox called Revival, right?
But also
a plug that you're following in my footsteps and you're writing for the Toronto Star. When's your next one?
We lost Dave Poole and he was the other, but I'm really enjoying doing it, Kippy, and I've got a column coming out this weekend, and it's been fun doing. Your column was bang on about Willie Nylander. Justin, I know you write all the time, especially on sportsnet.ca. So, Kippy and I are kind of new to it. I think we get a little more help than you do, Justin. It's for their finished product. But
sometimes my crayon smudges, right?
Yeah. But anyway, it's neat. When you've read those papers for all your decades, it's neat to be in there every now and then. So
great.
Thanks
I'm evolving.
That.
Great stuff, pal. Really appreciate your time, Gordo. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gordo.
Do I get a free phone cord for coming on?
Yes, you do, buddy.
No problem.
All right. All right. See you,
Gord.
See ya.
Gord Stellick. He almost had a, like a Doug McClain, like, I don't know where he's going with the phone cords and the buds. And I'm like, I can't keep up with him.
First off, that's as good a Gord Stellick hit as we've ever got. That was a heat.
Yes.
But I really love the point about the Leafs actually getting an advantage having their American League team in the city. If you're an older guy like Martin Jones, you're saying, I don't have to go live in Utica until I get called up. Like, I'll live in Toronto. Hopefully I get called up. But if not, at least I'm there. At least I'm in a good city. Yeah. A nice advantage for the Leafs. And in this case, it really helped them out.
The only thing they lose money on.
What's that?
The Marlies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's expensive. So, but it's very helpful for the parent club.
Hopefully the Leafs are the Rogers team.
Yeah, no, it would have to be. Have to be.
That is going to come on here and crap all over the Leafs. Those Leafs.
But I love the idea of there being like the original Toronto six, blizzards. Blue and white, Toronto Maple Leafs, people who are, I don't care, I'm going to be with this team to die, and people being like, I'm so sick of it. Give me the Toronto Tickle Monsters or whatever they are.
We've talked about this before. I always said the Toronto Hearts. I don't know how you do that.
Who said that?
I did.
Why are you saying that?
Toronto Hearts.
What am I missing?
No idea. I just came up with that. So.
Well, put it back wherever it came from.
I like it. Quickly, we got to go something before we go to break here. From February 1st through the 3rd, the All-Stars are in Toronto for the NHL All-Star Weekend, and we'll be giving away tickets to the different events and episodes today until January 26th. Today, we have tickets for the NHL All-Star Thursday, which includes a PWHL 3-on-3 showcase, the NHL All-Star Player Draft, plus a tribute to the 1967 Leafs. I'm sure no one will make any jokes about that. To enter for a chance to win, text into today's code word Thursday to 590-590, and we have another code word in tomorrow's episode, so be sure to tune in. That code word is Thursday.
Look for the Toronto Maple Leafs to load up All-Stars.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner.
God, we haven't had this talk yet.
Willie. You're not having an All-Star weekend without...
Willie's in.
Willie Stiles.
Fifth in the league in scoring. Willie's in.
Like, I see the Toronto Maple Leafs Twitter account. Because every retweet means a vote.
Uh-huh.
And they're just pumping out tweets every day. Like, and they're getting like...
Listen.
15,000 retweets.
What? Really voting, you think?
You think they're juicing it?
No.
You not remember... Like under the old system, you would get updates every second on who's leading and how many votes and how many someone's behind.
Where
did that go?
Oh, you suggesting overturn the election?
Where
Kip wants to storm the Capitol?
Where is it?
Let me grab my pink foil hat from below.
You know what they do now? They've got the John Scott vote.
Yeah.
Okay. You think they're going to ever let the public put a John Scott back in to the NHL All-Star game ever again?
Yeah.
Thanks, Marek and Mashinsky, for that
one. Just... They're going to put in whoever they want, and that's the way it should be. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be so...
You want the truth?
There's going to be so much interest in the skills competition. They got $1 million going for it.
Million scoots.
One guy can make $1 million. That's why it's so tough that Connor Bedard broke his jaw, because this guy would have doubled his salary. Think about that.
It would have been electric watching him push.
He only made $750 all year, and they would have given him a chance to make $1 million.
You know what would have been the best part? If he was really close coming down to the wire, watching the other guys like tank on purpose to let him win some money. What do you think?
And you know, I was just going to say, maybe.
You know?
But I'll tell you what the best thing about...
Is second place like a card and a handshake or what? Like, is there no tiering of this money?
I don't know. I think it's all or nothing.
It should be. Second place should be. Thanks for coming.
And I'll tell you another great thing about All-Star Weekend. The cheese is gone. We won't be seeing Mitch Marner at Lake Ontario and then coming in with his polyester suit to go on a breakaway. That's over. The player said, cringe TV is over.
All right.
Except we have to still watch 3-on-3.
Well, that's less cringy than everything else we've had to witness in those games.
Can we play hockey?
Give us a match.
How about a 5-on-5 game?
What was it? North America versus the world?
That was
for
my
a while?
Favorite world.
Is that the Owen Nolan point and finish?
Maybe. Ooh. With the Fox tracker on it. Ka-ding.
Yeah, against Hast.
Yep.
Our thanks to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Terrific stuff, Gordo. Appreciate it. Next hour, Chris Therrien, former Flyer defenseman. He covered last night's game that was on Wednesday Night Hockey here on Sportsnet. He's going to be by to tell us what's going on in Flyerland. It was a crazy week. We'll get into that when we return on Real Kipper and Bourne.